In today's gospel, our blessed Savior tells us that many shall come from the east and from the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The missionary conquest of the world for Christ. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. But remember, we always need a little seed money to get things going. And doesn't it make sense, though, to cooperate for the sake of the planting, to provide maybe a bit of seed or a bit of fertilizer, because you have to eat too. Someone has to ask Christ to heal the leper. Leprosy is the symbol of heresy, the heresy that disfigures most souls today. False teaching mixed with true. Or the palsy. If you're paralyzed, you can't move towards our Lord. Whether it be the palsy of the fallen away. We have time for everything except for a good confession and a Holy Communion and Mass. Or that of paganism. The martyrs shed their blood for Christ. And really, all we're asked to do is to provide maybe a bead of sweat, some effort, say, or a tear or two, some sincerity in our prayers, to give a little and to get a lot. Father Leslie, we think of him as our African missionary, Father Leslie gave his life. Just last month, just a month ago, you gave very generously to this missionary, and we sent him the offering, but it was just money, and he gave his life. His story sounds like the life of a martyr for faith, and then again for charity. He was a late vocation. By the time he was ordained, the Novus Ordo had come in, and he tried to stick with it for the sake of the good, simple people in the parishes who always suffer from the predations of the false shepherds. But after a number of years, he could bear it no longer, and 25 years ago, he went to Archbishop Lefebvre, who gave him a true ordination. He left the modernist church, which bitterly persecuted him for years, and he worked a bit as a missionary in England before returning to his own South Africa. There in England, the good influence of a laywoman and his own logical studies, prayer, and reflection led him to reject anything to do with the false church of Vatican II. And when the time came on Good Friday and the good Pius X people noticed that he wasn't mentioning John Paul II, why there was a furor, and he was told that he had better go because it was controversial, you know. His father had no place to go and nothing. A couple of priests helped him to buy a little house where he set up a chapel outside of Durban, South Africa. And there he continued his priestly life and his apostolate for really just a handful of souls for many years. And imagine when I told him that I needed a missionary to take care of our young Catholics in Nigeria, he was very willing to go, a man already in his 80s. And physically speaking, it was a very arduous journey, these two trips he made. But he was willing, this confessor was, to suffer for his faith. They use the term today, martyr of charity. Not martyr in the strict sense, but Father Leslie gave his life all the same. Some beggar, a man in his 20s, who had stolen from him before, but then returned the stolen goods, they had words, I am told, a week or so ago. And Father perhaps had a premonition of his death. He went to confession, and he mentioned to someone that he spent a long time with the priest in the confessional. And on Tuesday, that man, the beggar, returned, and he killed Father very cruelly. I was devastated by the news. It was a brutal murder, and what a loss. So many were so saddened, too. I feel that I've lost, in a sense, one of my priestly sons, because he was, in a sense, for me, part of our things. I was, as it were, a bishop to him, and certainly I lost a brother in the priesthood, because we were both of us, as Father Cicada too, ordained by the same bishop, Archbishop Lefevre. Now, when you express your sympathy to someone, you usually say, I'm very sorry. Is there anything I can do? Yes. Thank you for asking. There is something you could do. You may think that a prayer or two for the bishop to find a successor to take care of our African missions and, well, maybe a second collection if the basket comes round. But I had something rather more in mind. We've lost a great missionary. I need you to step forward to fill the hole in the ranks. All of us have an obligation to be missionaries in some way today, unless we help others come to life in Christ, which means the membership in the true Catholic Church. How can we claim that life for ourselves? Like the centurion, we must be concerned about the eternal welfare of others. How can I help? Well, your alms. The alms certainly of your money, but also of your prayer. Some may be excused from the former, but the latter obliges all of us. How can I be a missionary? By prayer. That's all. That's everything. The Little Flower, cloistered Carmelite, Normandy, patroness of missionaries. This prayer, furthermore, marks a real Catholic. Consider with me its nature, its qualities, and also its perks. There's a real inducement if you will pray this way. Consider the purpose of this prayer and its distinctive parts. This kind of prayer is, first of all, necessary. It's necessary for you. Look, if your fingers get disengaged from the rest of you, they'll die, they'll atrophy, they'll fall off, like the members of a leper. That wouldn't do. For you to stay alive, you must be part of the body, the church, our Lord. And we all must work together, or we will die a bit at a time, separately. Secondly, this prayer is supernatural. Pope Pius XI explains that it is supernatural because we depend upon God's grace. Missionary work is not a matter of mere marketing. You get together some money and some people and some slick slogans and go to it. No, it's not just the odd collection of cash and checks. It is supernatural because it depends upon God, and it is persevering. Persevering, like Moses. He keeps his hands up, his arms in the air, as long as the battle goes on. They, the missionaries, the fathers, are out there fighting for souls. But you, here, at home, in your home, are, every day, lifting up your hands in prayer. It is, furthermore, a disinterested prayer. Truly, it shows faith and charity, the love of God and the love of souls, and hope. There's hope for anybody's conversion. Do it for God. Do it for His glory. Overcome, as St. Paul tells us today in the epistle, overcome some of that evil out there by good, not by vengeance. The devil is around to suggest every day some sinful solution to the greater sins that are out there today. That's not for us, dear brethren. Really, St. Paul says, take the thurible. Take the thurible today from Ryan's hands. Excuse me, Ryan, may I borrow your thurible? And dump all of those red-hot coals with which he has very carefully packed it on somebody's head. That is what you do when you forgive him and when you pray for him. Not enough for us to be appalled at this new president and to catch the scent of Antichrist even in this man who so openly is for abortion, who, unlike his predecessors, doesn't make any attempt to hide his zeal for the slaughter of the innocents. Convert him for God's glory. This is proof that our politics are not the politics of self-deception, marching along with the organized forces of naturalism, but just in a separate column. But they are the politics of the King and of heaven. I promised some benefits. What does that possibly mean? First of all, this. When you pray for missionaries, you are delivered from that narrow parochialism. It is so easy for us to become selfish and self-absorbed. And we worry so much about what somebody else is doing and all the little details of life. Why, this pettiness is its own punishment. For God's glory, let things go and use those words and that little bit of energy for an Our Father or a Hail Mary for our missionaries. A great reward, further, is promised you in heaven. Whatsoever you do, that little glass of cold water to a prophet gives you the reward of a prophet. Some of you have been very good about supporting, over the years, our bishop's fund and our seminary. And already all of us are benefiting from the missionaries who have come to us, not one Sunday a year as in the old days to preach and to collect funds, but I mean who come to us to help us. Father Romola here in Confessions this morning, Father Saavedra, with his work in our midst with our young men, Father Siordia before him. The benefits come back to us right away. Do you see that? Right away. And the special graces that may come, I think of Father Leslie. It was because of his willingness to be a missionary that he received the grace to be able to figure out the situation in the church. Not the lies of the big group, but the realization I can't have anything to do with this one world church. What a reward already in this life. Next, the purposes or the object of this prayer. Well, of course, we must pray for an increase of vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. Make that a frequent intention when you pray your rosary. Ask Our Lady every day, please bless our family with a vocation to the priesthood or the religious life. Bless our parish with them. Secondly, it helps to sanctify priests, our missionaries. They've got to be holy or their work is not going to work. That's why we have the little church and we collect masses for priests. We have the first Thursday devotions. Remember what our great adversary, the foe, said to the curé of ours, if there were four more priests like you, all of France would be converted. Imagine a country the size of Texas would be converted by five holy priests. Isn't it in our interest to pray for them? And then consider the graces of conversions, the object of this prayer, obviously to convert pagans, pre-pagans, other lands who've, or our own, who have never heard of our Lord, not properly, and then post-Christian pagans, you might say, those who once were, but have lapsed into paganism, in our own America, as well as in Africa or Asia, and then for the benefit, too, of the heretics in our midst and throughout the world. There are so many, and leprosy is such an awful disease by which to die. Lastly, the component parts of this program. How can I help? Your collection, certainly, yes. The monthly collection we take up, say, for our seminary. And as a matter of fact, if you're supporting the seminary, why then you are really supporting the missions financially as well as future priest training, because we've got a Russian and a Nigerian there and a Finn and an Argentine amongst others. You're supporting the missions. And last but not least, what can I do? You can pray. Make that intention, as I say, for your rosary. When you say the Our Father, thy kingdom come, missionary intention. But think of the Mass as the most powerful of prayers, which is pregnant with the ideals and the Catholicism, the universality of the gospel. It is the most effective way to pray. Could not this tragic occasion, which means that there is one less true Holy Mass being offered in this world than there was a week ago, and no new priest yet to replace him, couldn't this tragic occasion draw more of us to the Mass, to present the death of the King of Martyrs to the Eternal Father? Couldn't you make it to one extra Mass every week for missionary intentions? You are, many of you, missionaries of the Mass. So-and-so will talk about the conga line going up the aisle at St. Michael's or the blasphemous statue at Good Shepherd, and you'll say, well, come to our church. We have a beautiful Mass, and you can pray there, and it's holy. Visitors are always welcome. Come to our church. You're a missionary for the Mass. Now I ask you, because we've lost a missionary and are in a bad way, be a missionary by the Mass. What a difference it would make. And how it would help us here, too, right here at St. Gertrude, for our own parish life. You know, the English always call a bishop my lord, which sounds to our American ears charming, charmingly quaint, I suppose. My lord, I am so sorry for your loss. Anything I can do? Well, yes, says the bishop. Come round a bit more, won't you, to church during the week? Let's see more of you on weekdays. There's some connection, you see, between that perfect prayer and the young priest from a foreign country who's just heard your confession, or the other young father who's conducting a summer camp for your boys, or the other priest who goes off one night quickly to anoint your dying cousin. All of us are meant to join the many coming from the east and coming in from the west, so that we can sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.